99.1 KKFT. Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
It is live and local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Our number here, 775-884-9910. We also have a podcast, which you can go and check out on the drop-down menu at 991fmtalk.com.
Reno has a cheese company in town, right there on Double R Boulevard. Pacific Cheese opened there in 2006. They're the leading supplier of premium quality natural cheese. And I think in the studio, we have the big cheese. Do people call you that all the time?
I've heard plenty of cheese jokes. Get a lot of cheese comments.
I was thinking to myself,
get ready.
Well, John, yeah, we'll get ready with John because he might be the king of cheese too. So do you slice up John and serve him places? That's the question.
Now, seriously, you are the leading supplier of premium quality natural cheese in Reno.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that we have a cheese manufacturing right where we live.
It's insane because this is a huge facility. It's a double R.
Yes.
It's like double R, yeah. And it's right across from the brand new DMV, basically. So that's kind of where it's located. You guys manufacture cheese there, and you cut it up, you send it out, full production and all that stuff. But tell us about some of your clients, because you don't sell to the general public. It's not like you can go to Pacific Cheese after we have this interview and go buy cheese from them. Tell people, you know, how you supply cheese and who you supply it to, actually.
So we actually have over 1,000 customers, and chances are our local area has already tried our cheese, because we sell to Taco Bell, Costa Vida, over 1,000 customers, Kirkland brands. So you can pick up our manufacturing supply through Kirkland at Costco, either one of them in Reno. So pick them up. That came from local here in Reno.
People eat a lot of cheese. Ask a question. Does anybody else like to eat shredded cheese out of the bag at 3 in the morning? I can't be the only one.
Oh, yeah.
We all love cheese, man. Cheese is a meal in itself. I always say, just need some chips and cheese. You're good to go. Bread and cheese.
This has too much cheese on it, said no one ever.
Let's talk about this, because, John, it could get super cheesy, but let's talk about the hiring process for folks that want to get a good job here in Reno, because, Brandy, this is the main reason we wanted to have you on here, because, you know, obviously, yeah, we want people to know about the product and how it's local, but you guys are actually hiring at your facility right now, and, man, talk about competitive pay and great benefits, and I'm blown away by what you guys are offering folks that want a good job now, or at least the folks that are willing to work.
Absolutely.
Thank goodness for them. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at Pacific Cheese and what you guys are hiring for and looking for.
So we're hiring everything from production to warehouse, maintenance, quality assurance. We have options available for first shift, second shift, and third shift. So whatever fits your needs, mornings, afternoons, evenings, we're here for you. And it's something that we like to have for a long-term person. I actually started out as the receptionist, and now I'm doing HR for one of their biggest plants. So I'd love to see people grow. So if people want a long-term career and be able to grow, we have options available.
I love how people can apply and literally get hired like the same day, right?
Absolutely, on the spot.
They're not going to string cheesy along on a job.
Nope, absolutely not. We want to get people in the door, want to get people working, and they want that cheddar.
24-hour operation, right? So
yes.
You have all the shifts and everything. I would apply to work for your company if some take-home cheese were included. What's the policy on that?
Every Friday, we sell to our employees. It's $1 a pound for the first 10 pounds and $2 a pound after that. So every Friday, our employees get that opportunity to take the product home to their family have
excellent,
a ton
Brandy.
Of it to be able to go home.
Another thing that people don't realize, I've been out there at the facility, and we've done the hiring events before. And whenever you come and you apply with Pacific Cheese, they send you home with a bag of cheese.
Yep.
That is the coolest thing ever.
I would love that.
We'll have to set you up with a tour.
Yeah, that would be so fun to take John. I actually went out there, one of our sales guys, Scott, and we walked around. It was really fun, and just got to see the facility and how it all works. And you would be surprised. You're thinking to yourself, oh, there's just blocks of cheese and they cut it and blah, blah, blah. No, there's so much more to it.
Yes.
It's like an intricate setup system in there. Things are cooled off properly. There's just so much going on.
Well, Brandy Fisher of Pacific Cheese, do you agree cheese is basically happiness that you can melt?
Of course.
There you go.
Let's talk, okay, about this hiring thing. I got to tell you, this it's not necessarily a testimonial, but I was there with you on the very first hiring event that we did. And we were, you know, having people come in and apply. This kid just wandered on to the lot. He was looking for, he was looking for, I guess, an interview at another place, John. Mm-hmm. And he wandered onto our lot and he goes, yeah, I'm looking for this address. And we're like, well, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm going for a job interview. And we're like, we're doing a job fair here right this minute.
Yes.
And the kid's like, oh, really? And it's like, yeah. So it's almost like fate brought him on the lot. He's still there with you,
yep.
Right?
Hired the same day.
Isn't that insane? That is, see,
that's great. You know what blows my mind are people who still ask, where can I find a job now?
Well,
everywhere.
There's plenty of spots at Pacific Cheese, especially with our new line starting.
Okay. Now, is it really hard work? I mean, this is, I'm picturing people having to lift the big cartons of cheese and everything. And
no, it's on average about 50 pounds. You do have to do it consistently. So I would say that we do consider it heavy lifting, but I get a lot of people that will start and be like, oh, this is a little tough. But once they get used to it, they're like, sure. This is, it's just an adjustment at the
beginning.
It's
like a workout.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of our selling points. We're like, do you need a gym membership or you can work for Pacific Cheese?
And how can something that's been aged 7 years mold in my refrigerator after 1 month? I don't understand.
Just a different process, different type of cheese.
I had to ask.
Well, hold on now. I got to tell you, hopefully I'm not dropping too many secrets here, Brandy, but when I did the Pacific Cheese tour, I got to see the lab.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have an actual, I mean, there's like cheese scientists in there. They've got beakers and all.
Yep. doing the whole process.
It's insane. I couldn't believe it. But like just the testing that goes on at a facility like this. But yeah, so you guys not only have a facility here, your headquarters is where?
Hayward, California.
Hayward. Okay. So it's just Hayward and Reno?
And Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, wow.
So our corporate office is in Hayward where they just distribute. And then we have manufacturers in Amarillo, Texas and Reno, Nevada.
And this is a brand new building here in Reno?
2006,
and the mice don't know a thing about it.
They don't know anything.
All right.
We're trying to keep that a secret.
Well, do you make Swiss cheese over there?
We get some distributed from our Amarillo office.
Ah, okay. So is there different kinds of cheeses made, like let's say in Hayward and Amarillo, like as you're saying, like you get the Swiss from Amarillo?
Yep, because we divide up the customers, so each area has their own specialty.
What's our specialty here?
So our specialty is mainly Pepper Jack, 50-50 blend, yes. Which is a cheddar Monterey Jack blend, Colby Jack, Parmesan, a couple different others, but those are the main ones that we see processed throughout the plant.
Oh my gosh, I love that stuff. And what are requirements for hiring? Like as far as like do you need to have like a diploma? Do you need to be like a certain age?
So you at least have to be 18 to work for us. You have to be able to pass a background check and drug screen and provide proper documentation to go through E-Verify, I-9, all that stuff. But besides that, it depends on the level that they're applying for. Obviously, with our quality assurance, that requires some degrees, a little bit more for production associate. Mm-hmm. Just come on in as long as you're 18, pass background check and drug screen, you're good to go.
So you need more paperwork than you do to vote, basically.
Isn't that weird? Did you know Amazon and Costco are selling 27-pound buckets of macaroni and cheese?
No, I did not. How funny.
I just noticed that on Prime Day. There it is.
That's crazy.
What I've been looking for all my life.
But who
the country is cheese crazy.
Yes.
We really are. I mean, you eat Cheetos, and you're always complaining that there's just, if they added it's just a
enough.
Little bit more cheese.
Is that the key? More cheese, please? It's not cowbell?
Well, they always want you wanting more. You know, it's a psychological thing. It affected me deeply.
Well, there can never be enough cheese on things. I mean, when I eat, I love cheese on stuff.
So the public can't get their hands on this marvelous cheese?
Nope, we sell to our manufacturers.
Unless you work there, folks.
Exactly.
Not even online?
That's the key.
Like pacificcheese.com or anything?
No,
like
we manufacture for other companies.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, what a lure to get workers. The only place you can get the cheese.
It's exclusive, man.
Yeah.
And
dollar a pound.
Okay, Brandy, another thing I just wanted to hit on real quick about this hiring process. You guys are starting, what, $20 an hour at minimum?
At
right?
minimum. Yep.
That's minimum, folks. You can maybe make Reno rent here.
Not only that, but we recently started doing sign-on bonuses for certain positions as well. So after 90 days.
Benefits?
Benefits, full benefits after 30
Why
days
Why did
employment.
I waste 20 years on TV? My goodness.
You know, I have the website. You can apply online. We'll get you started.
Right. There you go. Well, folks, it's been Brandy Fisher here with Pacific Cheese. And one more time, where can folks go to find out about the jobs?
www.pacificcheese.com, or you can come every Monday from 2 to 4 directly to our facility, and you'll get a tour.
And what's the address?
8950 Double Diamond Parkway.
There you go. Go get yourself a good career with Pacific Cheese. John, we're going to go get ourselves some animal arc with Bill Baker. He's going to be in here next. It's Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay here on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Our number 775-884-9910 if you got any questions or comments for our guests this morning.
Or for John Potter and Jay Biggs. Animal Ark is a great 38-acre nonprofit zoo, more like a wildlife sanctuary in our area. It's out there by Red Rock, but it's a real hidden gem with a fascinating story behind it, and each animal has a fascinating story behind it. Bill Baker from the Animal Ark. How and why did the Animal Ark start?
Well, that's a very good question. Approximately 40 years ago, it was the vision of Aaron and Diane Heibel. And they had a concept. They had a dream. I think that's the better way of looking at it. And that dream was to develop a place for animals that didn't have a place to go, which is always a real challenge when you start talking about native wildlife or exotic animals. And so here we are 40 years forward in the future with one of the most modern zoological facilities on the West Coast and just an amazing team.
You go in, you get handed a map, and a lot of people are told when the feeding time is.
Yes,
because that's a big draw. I hear people love to see Gracie the black bear eat an orange. How does she do it?
Well, that's actually part of our environment. It's not just about the customer experience. It's also environmental enrichment for the animals. So when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, bright and early, 10:30 every morning, staff's out there putting out fruits, vegetables, and everything for foraging behavior, if you will. So a component of that is it keeps the animal engaged, keeps them interested. Make sure that you have not only a good guest experience, but the animals have a good quality of life. And that really is what we're all about.
Well, tell me about this. What are your guys' latest achievements as far as like new exhibits and accreditations, stuff like that?
Well, actually, quite a bit's been going on. Newest exhibit actually was built for Gibbs the Bear. He is probably one of our biggest favorites in the, frankly, in the community, in the region. Almost everybody that knows about Animal Ark knows about Gibbs. And so we just actually developed a new exhibit that's over 5,500 square feet. It's very advanced. He has easily 400% more room than he was previously. And so that's really given him an incredible quality of life with a waterfall, lots of enrichment devices, an on-exhibit den, pretty much anything a bear could dream of.
How long has that been built?
We just opened it a few weeks ago, point in fact. We had the grand opening. It's brand new. It took us about 9 months to build it.
Well, each animal, as I said, has a special story. What situations are these animals rescued from? Where do you find them?
It's a mix, and that's pretty common in most sanctuaries and refuges. A number of them come through to us through NDOW, Nevada Department of Wildlife. It's not uncommon for us to get calls from them or Washoe Animal Control or from various other agencies in the region. And so inevitably you have a situation where an animal couldn't be returned to the wild because it became habituated to human activity or because it simply wasn't going to survive in the wild. In other cases, they're rescues from the exotic pet trade, which is very common. Anybody that's seen Tiger King knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so refuges and sanctuaries are pretty much the last hope for most of these animals, and we provide them with a permanent home for life.
Well, Kira, the kit fox, mm-hmm. Now her story, she was picked up and then dropped by a golden eagle near Fallon when she was just 6 years old. And so she had an injured leg.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't release her into the wild because with an injured leg, she wouldn't do well out there. And apparently it was against the law to, she had nowhere to go, basically. It was against the law to, like, have somebody take care of her privately. So there was you. I mean, tell us about her rescue.
Well, I think her rescue is typical, like most rescues. It's a case where an animal simply was unreleasable because it wouldn't have survived in the wild. For instance, kind of a segue in this would be, most people don't realize when you go to a wildlife facility, a zoological facility, and you see birds of prey, we're holding them because U.S. Fish and Wildlife allows us to hold them and to keep them because they usually have some sort of permanent injury that prevents you from releasing them back in the wild. Releasing them into the wild is almost an assurity that they wouldn't survive.
Which animal's the big entertainer there?
Oh, my goodness. Probably Gibbs the bear.
The bear beat out the cheetah?
Yeah, I was going to say the cheetah's cool.
Well, it's amazing. Wow. People come in the gate, and the first thing they do is they want to go see the bear feeding. They want to go see Gibbs. My personal favorites, of course, I'm a cat person. I love cougars. I love cheetahs. Working with the cheetah kids has just been an amazing experience.
And you guys have a hawk, too, there. It's like the fastest hawk in the world or something like that. Am I wrong? It's like a red beak hawk or something.
We've got a Harris's hawk, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've been out there. It's been a few years, so I'm going to have to come back out there and check out this new exhibit that you guys have built up. But let me ask you this, because a lot of your guys' help does depend upon volunteers. Am I correct?
It does, and that's actually the core of what we need. I've got a small staff. We always need additional help in any way, shape, or form. Volunteers can come from every walk of life, from people that just want to do educational docent work, across the spectrum to people that want to do mechanical work, repairs, landscaping. There's really no specific category that someone can't help us out in.
Is there an age requirement for these, for help?
Usually we prefer 16 and older, yes.
Because I was going to say, there's got to be some way for kids to not be on Fortnite all summer long, right?
Mm-hmm.
They come in there and help out with the animals.
The place is very well kept. It's clean.
Oh, yes.
It's educational. And the animals look happy. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I just sense that. Lots of places to rest. You can have a snack along the trail at Animal Ark. It's basically a good time.
Yeah, definitely is. What's a place that people can go and find, you know, where to volunteer, information about Animal Ark?
You can go on our website under www.animalark.org and click on the tab for volunteer. All the contact information's there. You can either contact us by email at that address on our website, or you can directly call us at 775-970-3111.
Well, pricing and admission, Tuesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and that's only $5 for adults. I mean, talk about a cheap date. that's a great time. Seniors, $13. Children, only $9. So, hey, get on out there to Animal Ark. Have some fun.
Bill, was this a passion of yours growing up?
Actually, it was. The short version of the story was... I'm actually old enough to remember Wonderful World of Walt Disney. And Walt was sitting there one day in his office because he always did this preamble before the show. And he had the maps and all the designs out for Disney World and future visions for Animal Kingdom. And on top of all of his engineering and architect tables he was working on, he had two leopards there. And I was like, I looked at mom and dad and said, I'm going to do that one day. Little did I know I'd end up going out and eventually doing free contact training with cougars and cheetahs and everything else. So for me, it's a passion. I could not imagine doing anything else with my career. It really cost you at a fundamental soulful level, if you will.
That would be so fulfilling and satisfying. And you're bringing me back to the days of Wild Kingdom. What the heck happened to that show? I think the lions finally ate them.
They could say he or she on that show. That was what happened back on that show. That's a whole other thing, though. Well, so what are your so those hours, Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 4:30, those are the hours for the public?
Yes, it is. if I remember correctly, adult admissions 15, seniors 13, and children.
Oh, it is 15, not 5. I'm sorry. I missed a 1. I was wondering to myself, you know, to not lie, to keep it honest right here on the show, I was wondering myself, why are seniors getting hit with $13? That's the only time I've heard of a senior pay more. Yeah, John, it's more expensive for you out there.
All right,
but,
out.
Well, hold on now. But that being said, though, I mean, it sounds like a really good time for folks. If they want to get, you know, a good experience and get out there and check out wildlife in the wild, pretty as wild as you're going to get it here in northern Nevada, this is the place to go. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning with us, Bill, and telling us about the animal art. Get on out there. Check it out. It's out there on Red Rock, not far from town. What, Bill, like 15 minutes north of us?
Yeah, it's not far at all. Just head north and turn right on Red Rock, and you can't miss us.
Right. There's no way to. All right. Well, folks, it's been a good time here with, of course, Animal Ark and Bill Baker. We are going to be back after we check out some local news. We have got Tony Lagotega with the Reno Air Races. John, that should be a fun time. It's next right here on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith & Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1FMTalk.com.
All right, Reno Air Races fans, get on the phone, 775-884-9910. We're talking air races because it's coming up real soon. I'm John Potter. That's Jay Biggs.
Hello, everyone. And our number, 775-884-9910, Smith & Mason Valley, 92.3. Don't forget that you can always listen to our podcast at 991FMTalk.com by clicking the podcast tab, and that should be up within an hour or so of our show. And we have in studio with us right now from the Reno Air Races, Tony Lagotega. Welcome in, Tony.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me in this morning.
Man, Tony, it's coming up September, 14th through the 18th?
Ooh. Yes, absolutely. I know. A couple days ago, we were looking at the calendar going, wow,
I know.
We are 2 months from today.
Well, you went to the Washoe County Board of Commissioners about a real financial challenge. The costs of fuel, merchandise, and insurance have gone up 40 to 50%. And that adds another $100,000 to the cost of putting the air races on. I don't understand this. I don't know. How did the insurance go up so much? Because we hear the inflation rate is, 11.1%, and here we're talking 40 to 50%. And I think that some corporations kind of take advantage of this inflation situation where they can feel free to raise. Anyway, I'm getting off topic.
Like airlines?
I'm getting off topic, but you have a challenge this year. It's going to be a tough year, and so we want to give a lot of support to you getting those funds, and you applied for a grant, as I believe,
yes.
CARES Act?
Yes, okay. So actually on the cost side of things, It's a number of different items. So one of them is kind of the infrastructure and tents and decorations and all that stuff that we put up. It's a huge, huge event, so there's a lot of that stuff out there, so a 40 to 50% increase in cost on those really comes to $250,000.
You're not talking about making the event smaller at
all. No, we are not going to make the event smaller. We're proceeding as is. We're working through trying to, you know, find other quotes and cut whatever costs we can. But these changes are, you know, they're real. And as far as the insurance side of things goes, that's actually about $500,000 increase as far as the premium goes that we're going to be paying on the insurance policy. And it's because we had to pick up an additional policy.
Well, you have a thing going on right now. It's called Racing for the Future. Basically, it's a STEM education activity during the National Air Races event where you basically bring in kids who can't afford to learn basically how to fly a plane, or you can do it at a cheaper cost for them between the ages of 15 and 22. Am I correct with that?
So that is actually the scholarship program. We have a couple different programs. So we're a 501c3 nonprofit. Obviously, a huge part of our goal is to inspire youth to pursue careers in education, or excuse me, in STEM education and aviation. So the two programs we have a STEM education program during the event where we bring in kids from all over the place for free. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday through school programs, and they get to learn about aviation, they get to learn about STEM, and then they go out and you see them all looking up in the sky watching these incredible airplanes race around the pylons.
How did you get into it?
How did I get into the
air
races?
Are you a pilot?
I'm not a pilot, actually.
Well, how did you become a big air race fan?
So I came to college at UNR. I transferred back in 93, I think it was. And so it was one of the things that I did when I got here. And, you know, it's an incredible event. Racing is cool. Watching airplanes race is even cooler, especially since this is the only place in the world you can see it. So that kind of intrigued me. And then everything that it does for the community, I always just thought it was an awesome event. It brings all these people in, you know, all that economic impact, 100 million roughly of economic impact every year. So I just always loved what it did for the community. So when I had an opportunity to start working there, I jumped on it. And once you get into it, forget it. It's just so cool. It's right. Like a family. The Air Race family is just amazing. You start to take on a love for the event that, you know, you have this responsibility, and I just love it.
I'll tell you, I mean, I'm sure it's somewhat of a sore subject, but we had a couple years where there was some unfortunate events that happened, yeah. And things were in question for the air races, yes. But I am so glad that they are back, because this is, you talk to people when you go out there, you walk around, these folks aren't just like, it's not like a bunch of Reno Sparks people that are playing.
Right.
Like, this is a national, in fact, worldwide event,
yes.
Actually. You get a lot of folks that fly in from other places. Now, one of the things I saw here on your website I was reading about, I have got to ask you about this. Because you offer apparently free certification for UAV, UAS drone pilots. Like, what is this about? What?
Yeah, so we are partnered with NVBAA and GRAD. Don't ask me to remember exactly what those acronyms stand for.
Right.
But you can find the information on our website.
Fair enough.
What they do is they provide the drone certification and they provide it for free to certain members of the public, including military members and I think some underprivileged folks. But that gets people started into aviation. By they could become a commercial drone pilot by starting and getting their
like maybe you could like, get employed by like Amazon and
yeah, I mean there's a lot of different opportunities out there, and it's a foot in the door into the aviation world in general. So we're really happy, and they're the same group that runs our STEM project or program on site.
I gotta credit the amazing pilots, the acrobatic pilots. I mean, Reno Stead are not the easiest to fly in and out of.
Mm-mm.
With the Washoe Zephyr winds. I mean, they kick the big planes around. I can only imagine what they do to the little planes up there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're always excited about the military performers. This year we've got the F-22 Raptor and the F-18 Super Hornet coming out, doing their full demonstration. It's been a long time since we've had the Raptor out, so we're really excited about both of those. But you mentioned the civilian aerobatic pilots, and they're pretty amazing. And there are some that don't come here. Because they haven't flown in this.
It does bug me when they paint the flames on the engine. They look so real. They freak me out sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm easily fooled. Are the pilots feeling the pain at the pump right now? As far as gas.
Yes, everyone's feeling it. Absolutely, it's up. I think it's up about 40-50% for the aviation fuel as well. So everyone's feeling it. You know, we're feeling it, and we're feeling it from shipping costs and labor costs. Everything, merchandise costs, it's across the board.
I got a way that aviation can maybe recover from this whole thing. Just fly your plane upwards, let the world rotate under you, and then come down wherever you need to. That's going to be the best, most fuel-efficient way to do it. But, Tony, so obviously this thing coming up that you guys have with, you know, helping out these kids and teaching them to fly, it's something that you are raising money for. What is your goal?
Our goal as far as so we're jumping to the scholarship side of things now.
Yeah.
So as we've done really well and expanded the STEM project, the natural progression, obviously, we always wanted to get to providing scholarships and getting people up in the air that may or may not, you know, may not have had that opportunity on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we were able to launch the scholarship program this year. We got our first significant grant from the Ray Foundation that allowed us to get that program off the ground. So we had 10 young adults that they were awarded the grants through the pretty rigorous process that we had as far as, you know, taking a look at everyone who applied. We had well over 20 applicants, and we narrowed it down to these 10. Six of them have already soloed, so they're well on their way. They're all
soloed.
They've
being
done their
alone in the plane?
First solo flight, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Take a look at these pictures, John.
How old
are
we talking, these kids?
They're in that 17 to 22 range, yeah.
My goodness.
Absolutely.
Well, the air races itself in September, anything new, anything different this year?
So as far as this year goes, we've talked about the performers that are coming out. There are some new racers. I shouldn't say new. There are some new racers, but there are a few that are coming back that I'm really excited about, but I can't quite share that yet because that press release will be coming in the next couple weeks.
Oh, is it somebody we would know?
Oh, yeah. There's some that people
really?
Will know. Yeah. So very excited about the race lineup. That's what's neat is that despite all the challenges, the races are coming back, and there's a lot of excitement about it. You know, we should have around that 150 mark as far as the race pilots out here and the six different pylon racing classes plus the Stoll drag class. So it's really cool. I mean, you've got planes ranging from little Pitts biplanes up to P-51s and Sea Furies, and then, of course, the jets that are out there going over 500 miles an hour around the pylons. And we're going to have a really good turnout. It's going to be an incredibly exciting
What's your
event.
Capacity for the turnout?
As far as airplanes go?
Well, no, as far as, like, people attendees and stuff
people
like that.
People attendees, we can handle up to about 150,000 of total attendance. Usually about
wow.
maybe 45,000 per day we could handle.
And there's another 20,000 in the scattered areas around the pylons
well,
and whatnot
yeah.
watching as well at homes. And
yeah,
actually,
absolutely.
On 395
absolutely.
North, they pull over the side of the highway
yeah.
there up by the zoo.
Absolutely.
And, that, and they're all lined up.
Oh, yeah, and the folks that have houses that are all in the hills up there, they get a great view.
Some are fans.
Backyard.
some uh-huh. bring up the noise.
Oh,
but,
yes, definitely.
You know, that goes with the territory.
Yeah,
there's always
absolutely.
A Karen. There's a, they're caring too much.
I remember in 2016 we had the Blue Angels out, and when they were practicing, they were doing some low flights, wow. and we got a call from a person who she thought we were being invaded because they did a low pass over a highway, mm-hmm. and she was driving down the highway, and it completely freaked her out.
You know, I mean, I guess I could understand because when we had you know the fire chief in here, we were talking about 4th of July fireworks mm-hmm. and how PTSD
yeah.
can happen from stuff.
Right,
so
yeah.
I could see somebody, you know, you're living that close and having that roar over your head, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm back in Afghanistan.
We do have you know? A lot of newcomers who move here and complain
yeah.
about the military planes flying
yeah.
too low.
I know.
And they complain about that, but we have the Fallon Air Station.
I
There's
think it's cool
around here.
I like the planes.
Well, it's
honestly,
a, yeah, it's the yeah. sound of freedom and all that. Yeah, I agree. But some people, boy.
Yes. And I'm the one that when I hear that, I walk outside and look up.
Right.
I want to see what it is.
Exactly, man. I'm the same way. So once again, where can people go and find out more about the air races and the scholarship program?
So airrace.org, that's our website.
Okay.
Scholarship program, we're starting to work on the funding for next year's program, so we'll be doing it again.
Okay.
The number of people we can bring in, you know, will kind of be dependent on the money that we raise for that program. Right. As far as this Monday the 18th, that is the Community Thrives donation program that we are a part of, and you only get to be a part of it if you're giving back to the community. So all the things that we do qualified us to be involved in that. There is a crowdfunding raising portion that starts on the 18th and goes through August 12th, if I remember correctly. So there's a whole bunch of ways that we can receive grants. So even the smallest donation can help a ton. So anybody who's willing and able, you know, we certainly appreciate it. Otherwise, just tell people and come out and see the races.
Right. Well, fair enough. There you go. Well, Tony, no question. We're going to have you on closer to the air races once again.
Great.
We're going to talk about those festivities. But till then, it's been very fun talking to you, sir, about the scholarship program, finding out more about it. And if you got a kid that wants to get involved, well, next year they're going to start narrowing it down to that class. Is it going to be 10 kids once again?
We're hoping to do more than that.
More than that.
Yeah, we're hoping
okay.
to do at least 15.
Is there, let me just, in closing, let me ask you this. Fair enough, because, you know, parents can maybe push their kids to do a little bit better in school. Is there something, some sort of criteria you look for, like straight A's or something?
We don't restrict it to straight A's, but we, you know, there's a large criteria. It might even be posted online still, but there's a pretty significant list of
there
things
is.
That we look at. But no, it's not restricted to straight A's.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, hey, if you got a kid out there that wants to fly or something, you could maybe entice them with a little, hey, get those A's. But anyways, it works. For mine.
Well, good luck getting that grant. Okay.
Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that right there was Tony Lagotega with the Reno Air Races. Stay with us because we are going to be back here. We're going to talk more about what we got coming up next week and review the show. Of course, it's John and Jay Live, 775-884-9910. If you got any last-minute questions or comments, go ahead and give us a call on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
You seen the new Elvis movie?
No.
See, I don't want to anymore because I hear in the new Elvis movie, they don't show the part where Forrest Gump teaches him to dance. I tell you what I noticed, my friend.
They have upgraded. By the way, this is 99.1 KKFT. I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs.
Yeah, 92.3 in the Smith & Mason Valley.
There you go. Okay, so I noticed they they upgraded and rehabbed Chuck E. Cheese in Reno dramatically. The exterior looks less Big Lots and more Macy's, sad to say. And would you believe, and Jay was the one who told me, the animatronic characters are gone.
Bye-bye.
Gone. The big mouse with the old gangster hat and the vest, gone.
What about the big gorilla that played the keyboard?
And I wanted them for my backyard. A surprise for my wife.
You know what? Today would be the perfect day to pop that on your wife.
Well, see, now they're going upscale. They still have the $24 for the unlimited one-hour play pass, but there's a new draft beer selection at Chuck E. Cheese. Honestly, the beer and the Dippin' Dots ice cream goes really well together. The beer and the wine for adults, and but I don't know if they have the same policy where they allow the adults to have only one drink per half hour.
Oh, who knows?
They had a weird policy like that last time I was there. Anyway, we need the Chuck E. Cheese Children's Casino to teach them to grow up and play in Reno. Who else is training the kids?
Hold on. Speaking of, actually, you said Children's Casino. Talk about
it. Yeah, it is.
You did. Well, have you been to the Meadowood Mall where the old, I want to say it was JCPenney's or Sears was? They've built this new, it's like an arcade, basically. But when you go in, the weirdest thing to me ever is that all of the games for the kids look like slot machines. They look like it's set up just like a freaking casino.
Hey,
they have games where you sit down and you play the screen. It's like a bunch of slot machines.
And they make they make the same noises.
They do. They
well, the birthday party's there. Now, this is why they're
doing upgraded.
This.
They've upgraded their pizza, too.
At Chuck E. Cheese?
Oh, so much.
Okay,
so.
Well, here's the deal. They're going more adult because I was talking to the manager on the phone because I was all panicked hearing about the animatronics gone. And
this she is what John does with his day now.
She said they're aiming what used to be all kids' birthdays. Now people, guys, ladies who are 55 and up, she said they just had a birthday party for a 70-year-old man and he had a great time out there. They all had a blast. And
John, this makes sense because this new generation, I'll be honest with you, my kids don't want to go to Chuck E. Cheese, dude. They don't. Mine are older now, but my kids never asked me once as children to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Whereas when I was growing up, when you were growing up, dude, Chuck E. Cheese was where you wanted to go. And so now what it is they're appealing to people who knew Chuck E. Cheese during that era that want to go back and have that nostalgia.
Well,
that's got to be what it is. They're trying to appeal to a newer crowd, but it's the nostalgia crowd that still loves Chuck E. Cheese.
It did need a bit of a of change.
Well, their pizza was like, it was worse than Little Caesar's.
Yeah, and there was always the bratty teenager in the Chuck E. Cheese costume. some hot local news, folks. Will Nevada have the first presidential primary in the nation? Could be. Democrats are retooling their primary calendar for 2024. State party bigwigs are pushing for Nevada, highlighting more diversity here over the usual first primaries in Iowa and New Hampshire. Judith Whitmer, head of the Nevada State Democratic Party, says, quote, I think everybody recognizes the value of having Nevada go first in the primary. They're going to decide this by early next month. The National Committee votes on it in September.
Well, that should be interesting.
People are concerned President Biden does he have the mental capacity to serve another term? I'm worried whether he has it for the rest of this term.
I want to know if he's got hairy legs.
And I see a lot of national news stories now that are saying Nevada is the biggest possibility of a total change in parties with the Senate race with Catherine Cortez Masto. They say she's the weakest Democrat Senate candidate in the country right now.
Really?
Yeah, as opposed to all the other races. I used to like her, but now in her position, the National Party pretty much tells all the candidates what to say and what issues to talk about and what not to talk. Don't say the I word. Inflation, you know?
Is it racist?
No, it's
It's something they don't want to bring up. And I'm still waiting to see a story on inflation on the news, 11.1%. Anyway.
Well, John, yeah, there you go. We'll see
Chuck
more inflation.
E. Cheese and Democrat Party, put them together. Bingo.
Oh, the Democrat pizza. Pizzagate. There we go. So today's been a great show. Rick Canale, as usual. Junk Patrol was in here with us. Portis Subs talking about that Markleyville death ride and slicing up subs for 50 years here in Northern Nevada. We had Rich in here. Douglas County Sheriff Active Shooter Training. Sheriff Coverly was with us. That was a very good talk with him to talk about what to expect with that. We had Evangelist Luke Anderson from the church at Reno Christian Academy to talk about how you can take your kids over there and not get them indoctrinated, which is great. Martin from Bonanza Casino, he was here to talk about their car show for The Cure. Pacific Cheese, Brandy Fisher was in here to talk about how you can go get a job. $20 per hour to start and all benefits right away. How nice is that? Animal Art, Bill Baker, Reno Air Races, Tony Lagotega was with us. But next week, John, we've got a very special guest that I've lined up. UFC Hall of Famer, former WWE star, and local Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock's going to be in here with us. The River Inn's going to be with us. Also, Clutter Brothers. We're going to have a Wing Fest taste-off as well between Redneck Barbecue and Slater's Ding-A-Wing. That should be pretty good. And also, Brad Pope, my good friend, Brad Pope, future Lyon County Sheriff. He's going to be here live with us in studio. So always lots to look forward to. And you can always call us with questions and comments, 775-884-9910. John?
Well, we'll see you next Saturday, 9 to noon, all live and local. John Potter with Jay Biggs right here at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.